Hello everyone, Simon Jacobson here with another episode of Meaningful Live. Welcome. Being that this week is Purim, the festive holiday of Purim, events that happened in Persia, ancient Persia years ago, thought really appropriate. It's part of an ongoing series of biblical events decoded, that we'll speak about Esther's secret. Why Jews celebrate her every year on Purim. This program is dedicated by Adam Ratkin in loving memory of his wonderful Zaidi, Irving Fishman, Shmuel Yitzchak ben Avraham. May his neshama, his soul, be in the highest light of God, Hashem, and may his memory be a blessing. Esther's secret. We all love secrets. Now, as soon as you hear something is a secret, you right away want to know what's going on. And as a matter of fact, a lot of misinformation and disinformation out there all begins by calling it a secret. What the best way to spread a rumor, a false rumor, is by saying there's a secret. We can't, those announcements about a war breaking out in a certain city, they're all untrue. As soon as people hear there's some secret, there's actually an expression, there's a verse that says, that sweet water, that stolen waters are the sweetest. People like the taboo, they like the secrets, the unknown. But then there are true secrets, not the misinformation. And that's really, when you talk about Esther's secret, actually, it literally means that. In Hebrew, the word Esther means concealed, covered. It comes from the word Haster, Haster Panai, a verse in the book of Deuteronomy, which means I have covered and concealed my face. A double covering, no less. And that's what Esther means. The word Esther means covered, concealed. And the reason for that is, on a very basic level, is because what you see is not what you get. I mean, ostensibly, we would argue that whatever we see with our eyes, what we hear with our ears, what we taste, touch, and smell, that defines reality. But we all know, and especially today, that that invisible forces drive everything. Whether it's our DNA and our cellular and subcellular structures, whether it's atoms or subatomic particles, it's the invisible forces that we don't see beneath the surface that really drive everything. The earth, as we know it, when you go deep into the earth, it's boiling, boiling hot. You're talking about temperatures that are in the thousands and thousands of degrees Fahrenheit. So the forces that are beneath the surface are really what drives everything. And with technology, we become comfortable with the invisible. The same is true psychologically. How many secrets do you carry within you? How many things are obvious and how much of it is not? Even to ourselves, there are many things we are not aware of. Our own potential, our own inner struggles, traumas, other experiences that are buried deep beneath the conscious psyche. So the idea of a secret is actually the understanding of the forces that are beneath the surface, that are concealed. Now, there are tools and there are ways to access that. And that essentially is the story of Purim. If you look at the story, the Megillah as it's called, the story of Purim, the story of Esther, it's called the Megillah of Esther, the scroll or the book of Esther. And you see that never is God's name mentioned there. There's a whole narrative. It's over a period of a number of years. You never see God's name. It's the only book in the entire Bible that God's name is not mentioned. And the reason for that is because God's hand is concealed. It's invisible, the invisible hand. You know, look at the events, and they all seem random, coincidental. But then when you look in retrospect, you connect the dots, you see the secret emerging. And that's really the story of all our lives. There's a hidden choreography that defines every one of our lives. But as Kierkegaard put it, we can only understand our lives backwards, but we have to live our lives frontwards, which means life goes from past, present, future. But when you look back, in retrospect, you suddenly see, now I understand why I had to be here and there and so on. Sometimes we see it quite apparently. Sometimes it takes more time. So it's a connecting dots of something that is much bigger, bigger story. And there are real patterns happening in our lives all the time. It is the wise person, the sages say, that see the birthing. We see, sees the intelligent person, the wise person can see the patterns where others just see randomness. Even in chaos, there are patterns. So Esther and her name, the very name, the Book of Esther, captures that story. The story, the concealed story, you can say. The story beneath the surface. The inside story, behind the scenes, under the dashboard. So many different expressions you can use for it. What's the double concealment? And this is fascinating. The great mystic, the Baal Shem Tov, puts it this way. There's a concealment and everyone knows something is concealed. It's called the known unknown. That you know there's an unknown, but I don't know what it is, but I know there's something there. And then there's an unknown unknown. The concealment itself conceals the fact that something is concealed. You don't even know there's something there. So it's one thing, you know it's dark at night. Okay, it's dark. I know that I have something lurking within my psyche, a demon, a negative memory, a nightmare. But I know, I may not know what it is, but I know it's there. But what happens if you suddenly decide that you're convinced that it's not even dark? You think darkness is light. You think confusion is clarity. You think toxins are healthy. You've gotten so used to it. That's called that the concealment is concealing the concealment. And then the problem is we go into an area called denial. Denial, which is not the River Nile, as the joke goes, which means we don't even know there's a problem. That's why they say that awareness is half the cure. Awareness doesn't mean you always know what the issue is, but you know there is an issue. In the good olden days, when before air conditioning, so in the hot, sultry days or nights in Russia, the only way to relieve yourself from the terrible heat was to go into cold basements, cellars. But there was also no electricity, so there was no light. So one day, a great mystic sage, went down for some relief. He goes down into the cellar, and it was pitch dark, pitch black. And he cries out and says, "It's so dark in here." But there were other people there, and they said, "Don't worry. Stay here for a while, and you'll get used to it." He says, "That's what I'm worried about. I don't want to get used to it. I don't want it to become my standard, my norm. It's important to know sometimes when you're in the dark. You don't want to think that darkness is light. You don't want to wake up one day and say, everything I thought was true is completely not." And that's also what why wisdom is considered. The eyes of a wise person are in his head. Wisdom is about light, shining clarity and light. And the first light is just to know there's something there. So Esther captures both levels of concealment, the concealment that we know about and the concealment that we don't. And the goal is obviously to access it, to bridge the hidden and the revealed. Because the healthiest life is when you're able to access that which is concealed. And concealed doesn't always mean some deep, dark secret. Concealed simply could also mean your potential, your tremendous potential. And that's the beauty of this story, the beauty of the story of your choreography. Can you reveal the patterns? Can you reveal the story, the narrative, connecting the dots of your life so then life can make sense? And this includes the ups and downs and twists and turns, every aspect of our lives. Literally every aspect of our lives is defined by these dots. When you're able to do that, life changes, because then it's about navigating the vicissitudes. Instead of seeing every event as a fragmented, disjointed experience, no, you start saying, one second, it's part of a pattern, it's part of a wheel that's turning. Sometimes the wheel is up, like a Ferris wheel, and sometimes the wheel is lower, but it's all toward turning, it's all one journey. One journey. A journey that includes many different subplots, but part of one larger narrative. When you look at life that way, you can really deal with anything. Because even if a moment is difficult, and everyone should be protected from difficulties or anxieties or stress or other distress or any other challenging situations, but when you look at it that way, you see that this is a journey. It's taking me somewhere. Where am I going? Everything is headed towards somewhere else. So the secret of Esther is really the secret of our lives. Now, to take this a step further, let's go into the mystique. Betty Friedan called it the feminine mystique. The feminine mystique, something about the feminine that is hidden. And it's true. If you think of a flower, for example, One of the beautiful things of a flower is that they're the petals. They seem to always hide something more. And even if you remove a few petals, there's always more. Now, we live in a world where we've become, at least we delusionally think that we're in control of everything. You know, you press a button and you get an order at your door and within 30 minutes. Everything is fast food, quick. Communications and technology, for all its blessings, has created the illusion that really time and space is not necessary. You can achieve anything at any time. And it creates the imagine that we can imagine that we're in control of everything. But we have to know this, that the technologies help us control the speed of things. But it doesn't control the real core truths and realities of our lives are not controlled by technology. For example, love, the search for truth, the search for your soul, the search for higher values. These things, technology has not changed. Technology may make it more easier to access, available. But these are things that you can't control. You can't go into a store. You can't order truth. You can't order love. You can't order God. You can't order your soul. When I say order, I mean acquire as an acquisition, like you can order a loaf of bread. So we have to know we distinguish. And the second thing that's important to remember, not only you can't acquire it, you have to allow it to emerge. It emerges like a flower from the ground. You can't force a flower out of the ground. You have to allow it to emerge. So respecting the emergence of things, respecting the process, that there is a process. And that process, a child has to go through 9 months of gestation, of pregnancy, to develop into a child. Certain things, you have to respect the process. Process and emergence are not about you control the elements to create the right environment for it to emerge. But then you water the flower, you water the ground, you weed the garden, and the flowers will emerge. It's critical to remember that, because getting back to the story of the secret, the mystique of life is not meant to be owned. The secret to true relationships and love is letting go, realizing that being vulnerable can be a great blessing, vulnerable with the right people whom you trust. But it goes counter to our training and our programming. How could you be vulnerable? Vulnerable means you're exposed. Vulnerable means you can be hurt. But vulnerable is where you allow your inner vulnerable self, that inner mystique, whether it's for a woman or a man, but especially a woman, it's maybe sometimes more pronounced, you respect it. And it doesn't mean you have to own it. Love doesn't mean you have to understand everything about your partner. It means that you embrace and you celebrate the mystique. You celebrate the Esther, the concealed. And you celebrate in a way of recognizing, you know, it's really beautiful that there's some things I don't own and I don't control. And I have to just allow them to emerge. I just have to allow myself to be. So it's really the essence of a true, healthy relationship. That there are things that should remain a form of mystique. Sexuality is a mystery. With all the books written and all the studies and everything in this modern society, it's still a mystery. It's still elusive. No one knows what the real ultimate secret of a healthy, sexual, intimate, loving relationship is. The secret of sustaining it. Everybody knows, as the joke goes, you can't live without it, you can't live with it. But it remains elusive, and that's really the beauty of it. Why does it remain elusive? Because it really comes from the secret world of Esther. It comes from beneath the petals. It's the hidden worlds. And though we can access it as an experiencing and a living it, but it's fine that it remains beneath the surface, that some things remain not completely scientifically analyzed. You don't want to dissect love to the point that you destroy its romantic, its subtlety, its mystique, its mystery. The mystery is good. So even though we continue to explore and we try to understand deeper levels, that's perfectly natural for a human being to do. But you have to always remember, every level that you discover, there's always going to be another level of Esther, another concealed level. Just like you climb a mountain. So yesterday's horizon, today you've conquered. But then you see a wider horizon, a broader horizon. And as you climb higher, the horizons expand even further. And that's part of the beauty of it. The ultimate of knowledge is to know that there's more to know. The ultimate of knowledge is to know the unknowable. And knowing the unknowable sounds like a paradox, but it's actually a beautiful concept. And it's reality of life. It's not the illusion that we own and control everything. We have to understand everything. True understanding is being in awe of a reality greater than yourself. And when you have that in your system and you recognize that, that will resolve so many issues, eliminate so many frustrations. All this is hidden in the petals of Esther. Now, it's interesting, I mentioned petals quite a few times, flower. Remember, Esther is also called Shoshana. It says Esther Shoshana. Shoshana is a rose. What is a rose? A rose is a symbol, maybe the ultimate symbol of love and flowers. But it also has that, first of all, that fragile side to it, that sensitivity. But the petals, they reveal something. And there's something about it that just always remains something that captures our imagination because it's beyond us in a certain way. Yes, you can, of course, you can dissect, you can pull apart the petals and get to the core of it, but that's not the beauty of the flower. The beauty of the flower is when you actually leave it be, let it open when it opens, let it close when it closes, and allow it to blossom, allow it to expand itself. The beauty of life itself, when you see a child developing, you don't force it, just watch, observe, respect, celebrate the emergence of deeper and higher beauty. And that's really the mystique of beauty as well, and so many other areas of life. So in a nutshell, the story of Esther, the reason we celebrate Esther, because we're celebrating the mystique, we're celebrating the mystery, we're celebrating the hidden story within our lives. Yes, we try to understand as much as possible, and we reveal as much as possible, and we try to connect the dots, but there's something beautiful about that type of mystery. Imagine we actually could predict everything that will be in the future, a crystal ball. You think you really would be happier? There's some things perhaps that should emerge, some things that we should not know beforehand. Let it happen when it happens. Let us do what we have to do and let that emerge. Respect the process and the emergence of things. And there's so much more that can be said. That's essentially the meaning of Esther, and which also explains why the book is called the Book of Esther. Even though Mordechai is a hero, a major hero in the story, and doesn't even say the book of Mordechai and Esther, the book of Esther. So she got plenty of guidance from Mordechai, but she is the essence of the story, the hidden story, where God's name is not mentioned, where everything is working in the garments of the natural process, but it's really not natural at all. But then it is true miracles, the invisible hand and the visible choreography of each one of our lives. That's what we celebrate. And that's something worth celebrating, even though it's thousands of years since the event happened. So the event manifested that way in its own way back then, and now it manifests in its own particular way. But it's an eternal story of the mystique of your life, the Esther of your life. Important to always remember. And is it that women have more of it than men? Well, is there a masculine mystique? Why not? It's just that men seem to be focused a lot more on the control element. And maybe women are now trying to play by men's rules. It's another discussion. And men are much more focused on the conquest, the warrior, defining and things. But the truth is, a man has a feminine nature. A man also has a very mysterious part if he allows it to emerge. It's not so respected. Today, a man represents strength, clarity, conviction, courage. And it doesn't, the idea of vulnerability, masculine vulnerability, a man crying, even though it's becoming more popular lately, but still it's something that the man is looked at as the tough, the one that you can rely on. All that is beautiful, but it's also beautiful to have a certain fragile side to you. And I don't mean fragile in a weak sense. I mean fragile in a vulnerable sense, the vulnerability of the child, the innocence, where we're not that jaded and we're not all figured out, that there are things that are not exactly calculated. Not everything is scientific. Yes, it's important to have a scientific mind and be and analytical and cerebral, but we don't only live in our minds. There's a lot more. There's emotional intelligence, sensitivity, empathy. Not everything that makes sense totally on a purely rational, logical, computer-like mind. And that's also part of the mystique, because the mind can turn into a very big, very dry and very machine-like and lose its soul, and then in a sense lose its Esther. We should all be able to celebrate and retain and reveal the Esther within us. I'll conclude with a story I share in Toward a Meaningful Life in my book. The chapter, I believe, is the chapter on children, actually, childhood, the beauty of childhood. So even though when we grow into adults, we should always retain that child, that innocent child within us. In a way, we're always looking for that child, the rosebud of our lives, that more innocent, idealistic, pure time, the adventure, basically worry-free, carefree, and so on. So there's a story they tell. There was a great rabbi, he was farbringing, he was having a gathering together with his students and his disciples, and it was very passionate and very warm and very inspiring. You know, everybody got into it. It was that type of like in the zone. But then they ran out of refreshments, a little cake, a little l'chaim, a little drink here. And nobody wanted to leave because it was such a magical moment. But they needed to refresh the refreshments to bring more for the continuing farbring, continuing gathering. And nobody wanted to go. So the Rebbe himself stood up and was about to walk out and said, "Where are you going?" You know, they were embarrassed that he's going on his own. He says he's going outside just to tell a child to go bring some drinks and some cake and some whatever it is that the refreshments were. So he goes out the room, but he doesn't come back right away. So they realize that he himself went. And he returns, he brought back all the refreshments and everything was back to order. But they were really, really embarrassed. And they said to him, "Why did you tell us that?" He says, "I always have a child. My inner child is always waiting right outside the room when I'm sitting with adults, in case we need the child, just that innocence to get beyond." Everybody here was so consumed with the excitement of the event. Sometimes you need a little child just to do the innocent act that doesn't have all that calculation, is not so mesmerized, and it's not so taken by all the fireworks. So I accessed my inner child to go find those refreshments. It's important to have that innocence. Sometimes it's important to suspend our brilliant minds, to suspend our sophisticated tools. As the Baal Shem Tov says, a beautiful analogy, says, sometimes you have to stand like a pauper before God when you pray and open your heart and soul. And he gives the example, why a pauper? He says, there were two people invited to see a king. One was a literate, aristocrat, educated, familiar, versed, well-versed in all the sciences and arts. And the other was an illiterate pauper, a peasant. Okay, the aristocrat, the scholar, the sophisticate, comes for his appointment. He never saw such a beautiful palace. And he gets so enamored with the collections of literature and music and art, he misses his appointment because he got so caught up with that. Then comes the peasant, the simple one. He doesn't appreciate any of that. So he walks right through all those chambers and walks straight into the inner chamber of the king and has his appointment. And there he asks for everything, including the blessing that he should have the wisdom to appreciate all the glory and all the majesty. Says the Baal Shem Tov, sometimes we need to suspend our sophistication. Just be innocent, simple, the mystique of Esther. And embrace, then you can embrace the essence of things. Then you want to express it into intelligence and emotional and other forms of expression and experience. And you really want a combination of both, the best of both worlds. So, my friends, let me bless each of you to find that Esther within you, the Esther and the people you love, and celebrate Purim, whoever you are, wherever you may be. Its message is universal, and ways of embracing the mystique, celebrating the mystique, celebrating your vulnerability, and actualizing it in this world. We could use a lot more of that. That will be the best way to preempt and eliminate war, conflict, discord, and all the other petty things that often, or not so petty things that often, separate us, because this level connects and unites the invisible quilt, the invisible story behind the story. Everyone be blessed, and may you celebrate and access that dimension and actualize it in your life. This has been Simon Jacobson, meaningfullife.com. Please love to hear your thoughts, your comments, your feedback, and of course share and subscribe to our YouTube channel, which has been growing. Let us celebrate together and individually the great mystique of life and the mystique in each one of us. Thank you so much, and be blessed, and a happy Purim to all you, to everyone, wherever you may be. Thank you again.